Today's episode is presented by Clark's. Clark's store began almost 200 years ago when Cyrus and James Clark made a slipper from sheepskin. At the time, it was groundbreaking, a combination of invention and craftsmanship that's remained at the heart of what Clark's does. From the very beginning, Clark's has always thought differently. Brilliant ideas are what sets Clark's apart. We are teaming up with Clark's and Podgo to bring you up to 30% off on select items, including on the iconic Clark's Desert Boot, by going to podgo.co/Clark's. That's podgo.co/Clark's. Hey everyone, it's Jameson Cable from the Kentucky History Podcast, and we are excited to have a new sponsor. Family Tree Nuts History and Genealogy Service is a great organization for you to take advantage of. Are you interested in your family tree? Where did your ancestors come from? What if you're related to somebody famous? Family Tree Nuts can find all these answers for you. They have multiple packages you can choose from. Go visit familytreenuts.org and find out the best package that fits your budget. They offer more than just genealogy. Check out their Facebook page, Twitter, and YouTube channel to find historical videos that are all informative and entertaining. That's not all. Family Tree Nuts is also offering life interviews for your relatives or friends. You can have your grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, or any relative interviewed, and you'll have their stories to pass on from generation to generation forever. We strongly recommend their services if you're interested in your history. Again, go to familytreenuts.org or visit their Facebook page to get your family tree growing now. Hey everyone, it's Jameson Cable of the Land Between the Meadows Kentucky History Podcast. I just want to say thank you for your support and listening to this episode. For all the updates on our podcast and YouTube channel, youtube.com/Kentucky History Channel, like and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at KY History Pod. If you're enjoying the podcast, give us a good rating and review on Apple Podcasts or the podcast platform that you're listening to. If you're looking for ways to support the podcast, an easy and simple way is to share it on Facebook or any other social media and tell your friends. You can also go to audibletrial.com/KYHistoryPod and get a free book of your choice. And finally, you can visit patreon.com/KYHistoryPod if you want extra content from us. If you're already a patron, thank you for your support. It means so much to us. All the links I've mentioned are in the description of the podcast, so go check them out. Thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoy this episode. And remember, if it's not about Kentucky, it ain't worth a hill of beans. I didn't realize this, of course, but having her diary, man, that is a jewel in its own, you know, just to have those. I don't know if she's writing it daily or however often. That would be.
She did it, and yes, to have those kind of resources. Mm-hmm. Well, that's like you said, it's a jewel, you know, to have it. This was one of those diaries where it's actually meant to cover 5 years, so you only have a few ruled lines for each day. Yeah. But it still reveals things. You know, I was able to just to pick up, you know, I was certainly able to pick up her work ethic, her, like I previously mentioned, her frustration sometimes over her golf game, who she was meeting with. Sometimes I would read a name in the diary, I wouldn't necessarily know who that was. Mm-hmm. So I would look it up, or what I frequently did is look up at the newspapers at that time, and I would find out that, yeah, this was some major business leader, or, yeah, you know, just because I didn't recognize the name didn't make them relevant. The other thing that really helped with this story, so for your listeners and your viewers, I write the book from three perspectives. Mm-hmm. Marion's father, Fred Miley, her best friend, Francis Laval, and then one of the three men who committed the crime.
Yeah.
And, but I was really very, very fortunate to be able to interview that man, his son.
Oh, wow.
His son. His son was just a little boy when the crime happened. Mm-hmm. And one of the, just to speak to what a traumatic event this was in Lexington and in Kentucky, you know, obviously throughout the country, but here in the state, it really resonated at a whole different level. Mm-hmm. This Fred Miley was one of the men who committed the crime, and he had two children at the time. And after his conviction, and he was sent to the electric chair mm-hmm. for the crime, the names of his children were changed because there was so much stigma associated. Uh-huh. So I think that tells you, you know, it just speaks to how it just, what a devastating, you know, crime this was to the community and to the entire population. But what that meant was, because the children's names were changed, it made it very, very difficult for me to find them.
Yeah.
I did eventually find them. And the son, who was the older of the two children when the crime occurred, he agreed to talk to me. And that was just eye-opening. I mean, you just, you can't anticipate all those things. It's just
emotional and everything. I mean,
he was very kind. He has since passed away, but he was very kind, and it was kind of sad, because there was one point during my interview with him where he said, "Now, I was told that my dad really didn't even go inside the uh-huh. country club, and that he was outside, and when Marion was shot." Marion's mother was also shot in the same mm-hmm. crime. And that was really tough for me to tell uh-huh. him that, no, his father had been inside. Yeah. But all the ballistic evidence proved mm-hmm. that his father, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't shoot anybody.
Yeah.
It all came, you know, from the other gun. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just one of the one of the examples of, where you talk about a jewel. I call it a gift. It's probably about the same thing, that just brings a level of realism, you know, to the story that maybe you wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah, and you think too that might have been other adults at his youth, you know, just kind of trying to I guess maybe give him some sort of, you know, closure or clarity to say, you know, your dad didn't go in there, but he was involved. And, you know, and maybe that was the case, but who truly knows?
Or just to protect him.
Yeah, protecting him. Just,
I don't have any, you know, blame or whatever in that area. Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, what that would have felt like. There are a whole lot of levels when something like this occurs, mm-hmm. and you think about the immediate family and their sense of loss, but then there's this larger picture, you know, of a community, of a state, of the golfing world, of people feeling sad, and then people feeling angry, mm-hmm. you know, maybe
people wanting vengeance.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
It's a whole whirlwind of emotions. I mean, on all sides, and you know, it's one. I mean, people deal with it today, of course, too. But looking back and, you know, telling a story like this, you really, I guess, you get the whole story as far as how these people ended up, how things went, and.
As much as you can. Yeah. They get the story as much as you can. Mm-hmm. If I could have interviewed, if I had been able to summon, you know, Marion somehow to get her perspective, that's all you do. You know, it was, so I don't know if you wanted to get into some of the specifics of the crime. I was going to go there a little bit.
That's up to you if you want to let people listen.
Well, you know, just to, for people to understand, since we'd already mentioned about them, Marion and her mother, you know, being killed at the Lexington Country Club. Marion was not originally from the state of Kentucky. She was actually born in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And because Fred was a golf pro, that involved him taking different jobs. You know, mm-hmm. there was a tendency to move. And so Marion spent some time in the Boston area, but she spent most of her childhood growing up in Florida. And that's where she graduated high school when she was 16. And then in 1930, Fred accepted the job as golf pro of the Lexington mm-hmm. Country Club.
Yeah.
And so they moved to Kentucky. And a few years into that, the family was offered an apartment that was on the second floor of the country club clubhouse. Well, Fred got a better paying job at a private club in Cincinnati. And so we were still in the Depression. I think it's an important point to make that this country really didn't come out of the Depression until we were in World War II and all the production that was involved for the war effort. So Fred accepted the better paying job. Elsie and Marion stayed in Lexington in the apartment on the second floor. Elsie had taken the job as office manager for mm-hmm. the country club.
Yes.
So this was a great, really, when you think about it, this was a great setup. You know, they had lodging.
Yep.
Fred would come home, you know, come back every, you know, couple weeks or whatever it was. Not the easy drive it is now from Cincinnati to Lexington, but, so the two women were living alone in that apartment on the second floor. And September 28th, 1941, in the early hours, two men broke in to their apartment because they believed that there had been a lot of money taken in at a dance that was held that night at the country club. And things just went badly from the get-go. Mrs. Miley was shot three times in the abdomen area. And then Marion was shot once in the back and once at point blank range into her head. Mm-hmm. And so she died, you know, instantly.
Yeah.
The men got away, at least for a little while, and they thought both women were dead. Mm-hmm. But as it turned out, Mrs. Miley hung on for about 3 days, and she actually, which is probably one of the most unbelievable aspects of this story, she crawled on her hands and knees from the country club across Paris Pike, which is one of the major streets, roads that leads into Lexington. To it was a tuberculosis sanitarium that was across the way, and she crawled, you know, thinking that she was getting help from Marion, even though you know Marion died. You know, she died instantly. Mm-hmm. The men had cut the power, had cut the phone lines at the country club, which is the reason why Marion's mother had to, you know, find it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. She had to, you know. So, yeah, she crawled with three bullet wounds.
That's quite amazing. I mean,
it is really something. And so she was able to provide a description of the two men. Then it turned out that there was also a third man, an inside man, as a matter of fact. So, you know, the hunt began, you know, for those three. And so this, yeah, this book takes takes the reader through the crime, through the hunt for those, and ID of those three men, the capture, the trial, their ultimate execution.
And through all this, Marion's father, he's in Cincinnati, correct? I mean,
he was working in Cincinnati, and when the police came, you know, he was called and just said that there had been an accident. He wasn't even told what exactly had happened. Mm-hmm. It's also one of the really heartbreaking aspects of this story, and there are many of them, in that he's driving from Cincinnati to Lexington, and there is a kid on the corner around Georgetown, and he's hawking newspapers and saying that Marion Miley had died. That's how Fred Miley learned that his daughter was dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is quite heavy.
Yeah. His only child. Mm-hmm. So he's called in, and, you know, there, you know, it's an investigation like it would be any investigation, where the police are going to ask, you know, they're not going to eliminate anybody at the beginning of that investigation. So I'm sure that there were questions about Fred and his whereabouts, and, you know, all the, all the normal police things that have to happen. But it was, you know, he was able to see his wife, she was in a coma. She never regained consciousness, and died. Mm-hmm. So he buried his daughter on one day, and then 2 days later he buried his wife.
Yeah. Ooh. I would assume that's also quite difficult to write about as well, as far as like getting into that tragic experience. I mean,
Fortunately, some of my writing before, I think, had kind of better prepared me for that. I have written about some difficult things in the past, and, you know, dealt with that on a real, real person-to-person basis. Mm-hmm. There was an Air Force jet that the pilot, he experienced engine failure, and it crashed outside of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And it actually crashed into the lobby of a hotel. Mm-hmm. And 10 people, it's a miracle there weren't more, but 10 people died as a result. And 9 of them agreed to let me interview them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're up against a lot of, again, that sudden loss. Most of those people, the casualties in that, were young. Mm-hmm. And so that was very difficult. You know, I didn't know it at the time, because that was a long time ago, but, you know, and a couple of other experiences like that.
Prepared.
You know, you learn how to do that. I did recall some of that as I was working on this. So,
I would even say could be a Hollywood movie for sure. The story of Marion Miley. I don't know. I don't have the resources or know how to get that to happen, but
We do. I do have a film rights agent as well. She mm-hmm. actually visited the Lexington Country Club. Was really kind to, you know, let her come out there, and, you know, I was just able to place the story, because the amazing thing is that the actual place where Marion died, it was on the second floor. It is now, that area is now the ladies' locker room, But what's interesting is there there is a section, like a hallway, that is exactly the same as it was when Marion died. And, you know, you can line up a picture of the way it looks now to the time of the crime scene. And it just, there's, it's just, and so I was able to bring her, you know, to that spot and say,
this is what happened.
She died. This is, you know, and she was just saying that it's just so rare to, you know, in stories like this, that places have survived that long, and it just most of the time just doesn't happen. So, and you have the house where Elsie Miley crawled for help. It's a private residence now, but it's it virtually looks the same. It's, it's incredible.
Really. Yeah, that is. Now the country club that this at, was it the the Lexington Country Club?
Lexington Country Club.
And it's still operational today, right? Okay. That's pretty amazing. I mean, I can say that's really cool. They need to make a movie about this.
All right, let's start a groundswell here. You know, seriously though, the country club has, they've just done a great job in, you know, they have a memorial tournament for her every year, and they have since 1942, the year after her death. I think, you know, a couple of those war years where tournaments were held. But, and they still have it. It's an amateur event, draws the top amateurs, you know, in the state. And they have a room set up at the country club where they have her, a set of her old clubs, and they have lots of photographs. They have a watch that that she wore.
So sounds like I'm going to have to make a visit to that.
There you go. You know, I'd like to see the Marion Miley room, and they're very generous. They're, you know, it's nice. Helps keep her legacy alive.
Well. I would encourage everybody definitely to get your book and check it out. They can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, all the regular places. you know, if there's a, you know, I'm always encouraging people if they have a local bookstore to do that, especially in this pandemic age. It's, you know, it's really helpful to support local businesses. But yeah, I mean, it's great. I just sort of check it every day on Amazon is when and it was like, yeah, you can get the book tomorrow. And I was like, okay, well, good. You know, all the regular places.
So are you ready for your quiz?
Oh, I think I have another commitment and
gotta go quick, huh?
Okay, go ahead. Let's get this pain over with.
It's not too painful. So the first question, and since you live in Fayette County, we're gonna take the Fayette County. Who was Fayette County named after?
Oh, I know this one. The French general Lafayette, right?
Yeah. Very good.
Okay, let's stop now.
Marquis de Lafayette, and the funny thing is, I did a video about him. And I pronounced his name wrong the whole video. And I was like, oh, gosh, what was I thinking? I should have looked up how to say these French words. But yes, good
job. French don't make it easy on us.
No. Now, this one will be a little bit harder, but you may get it. It's not too out there. What year was Fayette County founded? And think of Kentucky was a state in 1792. And Fayette County was founded before.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was before. Was it 1780?
Yes. Look at
that. Oh, fine. Okay, you really need to quit now, seriously. Because this is, you know, go ahead.
You're going to be fine. The next one, who built and lived at the Ashland Estate?
Oh, our buddy, Henry Clay.
Yeah, see, three for three. And you're going to get this one too. Who was the first lady of the United States that grew up and lived in Lexington?
Well, that'd be Mary Todd Lincoln.
There you go. All right. Toughest one for last.
Oh, no.
When was Lexington founded?
Oh, my.
And I mean as in settled, the first settlers in the mm-hmm. Lexington area.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know that one. I don't. No,
it is 1775. William McConnell was one of the first settlers there. So 4 out of 5, though. You were worried about this.
So Lexington was established before Fayette County, mm-hmm. right? That's what you're mm-hmm. saying, right?
Yes. And like as far as the incorporated, you know, Lexington becoming an official town, that was obviously a farther back.
Was
after 1775, but the first settlers in Lexington, yeah, 1775.
You used to be a history teacher too.
I would take that as if I could. If the job comes open, I'm going to throw my hat in there and say, move me over
and
to history.
And if I can ever help any of your little readers, you let me know, because I'm a big fan of reading.
You know, if I was to be a history teacher, we could still have guest readers come and read this.
Yeah. It's I just keep thinking history would have been so much more effective if I had learned it differently. You know, I really got more into history after I was out of school. And I always think of that, like, why wasn't I taught this one? But I guess everybody does that,
And that's one reason me and my co-host Mr. Pope started the podcast. And we taught together at Crabwatch. He taught history, I taught reading, and we would just talk about history stuff during recess and when we had breaks and stuff. And I would be like, man, you know, this stuff, there's so much amazing stuff that you could talk about. And then, you know, you talk to somebody who went to elementary school in Kentucky and or in high school, you know, I think they have Kentucky history in 8th grade too. They have these history classes and about Kentucky, and that they still don't get to the good stuff. You know, they don't know about the good stuff.
I know what you mean. That's it just makes such a difference mm-hmm. when you have a really good teacher, really in anything, right? It's anything, but history is just I just always remember my son had this history teacher, and he Henry Clay was like one of his favorite, and so my son would come back and I was just like, wow, because this teacher just loved Henry Clay you know, in the estate, Ashland isn't too far from where I live. So, you know, I'm frequently around there walking my dog and stuff.
Just somebody who has passion for something is going to be the better teacher for anything.
Absolutely.
Where can, before we get off here, where can people find you? I know we met up there on the Instagram.
Instagram, right.
I'll tell the story. I saw your post, and I commented, and we had a little comment back. And then I looked at your profile, and I started scrolling through. I was like, she's written a book about this. Hold on.
That's why I first started doing Instagram. But the you could just, you know, on Instagram, you could find Beverly K. Bell. And that's the same as my website. It's Beverly, middle initial K, Bell.com. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of, I think, interesting things. I go into a lot of the background of how I found different resources. Yes. And I think that's it. Well, it's interesting to me because I care about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, including, you know, finding resources down in somebody's basement, which is just like, you made that up. No, I didn't. That really happened. But there's all kinds of things. There's, I've been doing a lot of Zoom meetings mm-hmm. with discussions with book clubs. Yeah. So there's a way to, you know, if your book club is interested. So there are lots of resources on there.
I definitely encourage especially if you like history, like Kentucky history, the murder of Mary and Miley would be a great book for you to check out for all of our listeners out there. I do apologize for the Pulitzer Prize. You covered a profile for
it. I wrote a story, but hey, you know, maybe you just sent out some good karma for me.
There you go.
No worries. No worries. Just want to don't want to take credit where it's not deserved, but yeah.
Well, again, I want to thank you, Beverly, for coming on this nice Saturday morning, taking time out of your day to talk to us on the Kentucky History Podcast about the murder of Mary and Miley. A great Kentucky story, and really, I really encourage people to check it out. It's a great read. And so touching. I guess that's the word I want to say. Such a touching story. So many traumatic, I guess, or just emotions, I guess that's the best. I'm trying to think of a bigger word or something, but just emotions you can go through with a story like this. So,
right.
Anything else you want to add? I mean, as far as like connecting to you or anything, any future projects, that kind of stuff, just go ahead.
Yeah, just I have answered a number of questions on some of the social media things. I'm happy to do that. If you didn't already figure this out, she is one of my favorite things to talk about. So, it's just such a, like you said, a compelling story. And really what I like to say, you know, some people always want to try and label something, right?
Yeah.
So they'll say, oh, this is a true crime, or this is a mystery, or this is, you know, historical fiction or sports or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would just say yes to all of the above.
Yeah. So once again, thanks for coming on. And we really appreciate it. Whenever you write your next book or get it ready, the invitation is open to come back on. Just let us know. Without anything else, that's it for today. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.